For our consideration, our minds are turned towards our Lord, towards the memorial season, and our theme is really going to be based on John 6:33. For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, you may recall that this quote from our Lord's discussions with those who were hearing about him as the bread of life came from a time where he was in his ministry up in the north. And actually, this was when he was right by the Sea of Galilee preaching. So to put us into the context, we want to first consider what a blessing it would have been to be with our Lord by the sea, looking out across Lake Galilee, Kennesaret, I believe it's called in Hebrew, and hearing for the first time this marvelous, special speaker. When we look at our Lord's ministry, what a blessing. What a blessing it would have been. I think the volume was a little high on that, so if we can bring that down just a hair. I saw only a couple besides me who wanted to hold their ears. Those are our Absco brethren who did that. Just a beautiful job. But our Lord had fed 5,000. He performed that miracle and then sent his disciples forward without him accompanying them. The account then records how he actually crossed the lake walking on the water. And the next morning, the crowds followed. They came around. And this is where we would like to pick up the account. We're going to ask for our sister Josie to read this account for us from the Gospel of John, starting with verse 24 here.
Yes. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there by the Sea of Galilee where the feeding of 5,000 took place, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
So we want to focus on our Lord's words here. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And of course, he was talking about his life's work, his sacrifice, not the actual bread. In this case, we're showing some matzah here. But I want you to listen carefully to the next hymn that is going to be sung, because we're going to try an experiment together of doing a karaoke version of this hymn afterwards. So we'll see how that works. And this is an experiment, but just to give you some background, one of the great joys for the people who live in the part of England that's called Wales, the part of Great Britain called Wales, is they really like singing in choruses, and they are really good at it. So this hymn is one of my favorites. It's not in our hymn book, but it's still one of my favorites. It's called Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, is the English version of it. And we're going to hear the English version of it. But first, listen, all of this is being done in Wales and in the specific valley that Rhondda Valley. Cwm Rhondda is the name of it, if I'm pronouncing the Welsh correctly. And if you think Slavic languages are hard to pronounce, just try reading Welsh. They have like five consonants in a row. I have no idea how you read that. But this will be in English, but all of the singers are going to be Welsh here. So let's pick that up. It'll come up on the screen. The words are in hymn 71, but not the Welsh meter. Okay, not the Welsh meter. So if you got that, we don't expect you to sound like Harry Secombe. He's actually been, he was a great performer of opera in the UK and throughout Europe. So we are going to try this hymn. And let's see how this works, brethren. Well, I know you're all thinking, well, it was originally in Welsh, so I'd like to hear the Welsh version for 50 seconds. And I couldn't believe this, but you know, if you can imagine a time where Hollywood said, oh, a hymn sung in Welsh is part of the best picture in 1941. There were some of us that maybe remembering 1941 in this room here, and this was the best picture of the year. Think about it. This was when things were really going badly during the Second World War. This is before the U.S. got into the war, and the reason I want to show this is because it shows the joy that the people had. This film is set at the very close of the Victorian era, so it's set about 40 years earlier in time, but you're going to see coal miners coming from their shift at the mine singing this hymn. And this was something that would have happened. And you can see progress taking place because in the background, you can see a power station with coal smoke spewing out of the stack. So you know progress was taking place. And this really captured my heart. So I'm going to show this for 50 seconds. But the one bit of Welsh that you probably can translate is the original said the Hill of Calvary, or at least they're singing the English there instead of Pen Cefalia. They're going to sing the Hill of Calvary, the Hill of Calvary, I will never forget thee. Those were the original words of this last stanza for this hymn. And I thought this was such an interesting little timepiece here. So we're going to watch this for 50 seconds. Pay for the night's lodgings and their board. A different era. A different era. And if you go online, by the way, you will get the English subtitles for everything they're singing in Welsh. That didn't come across when I downloaded. But, you know, it made me think of what joy mankind is going to have in the kingdom when all the hearts of men will be united and they'll just take joy in their work and their pleasure. So anyway, there's a little bit of listening to the Welsh. So we heard our Lord's words at the sea about him being the bread which came down from heaven to give his life for the world. And Pastor Russell treats this in the reprint, we're picking up reprint 4146 here. And for this reading, we've asked for Sister Marilyn Binda, would you please read this? It'll be up on the screen. This is talking about what we heard from our Lord's words earlier in John 6, 25 through 35.
What shall we do? The discourse had its effect. The people realized that they were leading comparatively aimless lives, or that their aims were earthly and therefore would perish with their dying. And they asked the Lord what kind of work or labor he meant that they should perform to secure the food that would bring the divine favor and gain them eternal life. What do you mean by works that would please God? This is just the point that Jesus wished to bring them to, and that he wished to answer. He replied that the work for them to do at once was to exercise faith in him as the sent of God, the Messiah. But they replied, "What reason have we to think of you as the Messiah? Work for us some conclusive sign that will prove that you are Messiah, and we will believe. The fact that you fed 5,000 of us last evening with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes does not prove your messiahship. Messiah is to be like Moses, only greater than Moses. And the miracle you performed is not as great as some that Moses performed. You furnished 5,000 for one meal and had the loaves and fishes to start with. But Moses fed our fathers 4 years in the wilderness without any bread. The manna which he provided came down from heaven. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They were good reasoners in some respects. They were not going to be too easily converted. They wished to be thoroughly convinced before they would believe Jesus to be the Messiah. They had heard of others who had been deceived by false messiahs. They were intending to stick close to the scriptural record and to see that the one they would accept as Messiah must be greater than Moses, able to feed them and all the people every day, and with bread superior to that which Moses gave in the wilderness."
So the people had questions, because, you know, I think it's helpful for us to realize what would have been in their minds as Jews coming into Christ. It would have been really a change, but I thought that it would be helpful at this point. Probably most of us have not actually been at a Sabbath service. I know some of us have, but most of us haven't been at a Sabbath service. And so I wanted to show the literal breaking of the bread and the sharing of it that was part of what was done each week. This will begin with the women have the responsibility of saying the prayers and then lighting the candles before sunset. And that marks the start of Sabbath. 20 minutes before sunset, they are to light the candles. Then taking you through, there's first a blessing on the wine and a sharing of that. And then there's a blessing and sharing of the bread. So here is what would have been in the minds of the Jews when they were thinking about bread. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
Bye. ברוך אתה, אדוני, אלוהינו מלך העולם, אשר קידשנו במצוותיו וציוונו להדליק נר של שעווה.
So you'll always hear Baruch Atah Adonai, or bless my soul the Lord. And just to show everything is fulfilled, overflowing, the wine overflows there. So this is, blessed art thou, O God, who makes the fruit of the vine. Everybody's going to wash their hands before they have bread.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Al Netilat Yadayim. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Hamotzi Lachem Min Haaretz.
And you notice they're putting salt in the plate because you have the bread with salt, the covenant of salt. So we will pause at that point, and I just thought that it would help to actually know what the Sabbath service was like for those who have not participated in one, Shabbat. And this would be done every week, and here you had a family group, but it is considered a righteous deed to make sure that the whole community, perhaps members who normally don't get invited somewhere, or those who don't have a family, that they get invited. That is a good righteous deed. And so that is done at the Sabbath services. So this is what we heard what the first part of that Reprint article said. We know what was in the minds of the Jews. This was what they're thinking about for bread. The bread that is provided by God. And now let's continue reading that reprint 41-46. And we've asked Sister Joan Palumbo to close out that subheading for us.
Then was Jesus' turn to expound his teaching and to show that the comparison as between himself and Moses was not as to who would give a finer kind of earthly food and more of it, but that he would give a heavenly food, a spiritual food, which would secure to them a heavenly life. He therefore called attention first of all to their mistake in thinking the giving of the manna to be the work of Moses, saying plainly, it was not Moses that gave the bread from heaven, but my Father. Do not credit that to the wrong source. Moses was indeed an honored servant of the Lord as the lawgiver of Israel, but he neither gave the manna nor sent it. My father who sent that manna in the wilderness has now sent another kind of bread, another kind of food, another kind of manna from heaven. Not literal, but symbolic. The bread which God is now about to send to his people also comes down from heaven and is intended to be the bread of life for the whole world, not merely day by day for a few years, but for life everlasting.
Well, brethren, let's continue by singing together hymn 122, and we'll bring this up on the screen. To have the reading of the Songs in the Night for March 10th. So we've asked Sister Hannah Pop to read this for us. Songs in the Night for March 10th, our evening song.
Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Be ye also patient. James 5, 7 and 8. Patience is a virtue which our Heavenly Father desires to cultivate in us, and he manifests it in himself, the grandest example of it. Through all the centuries past, he has patiently endured the reproaches of those who, failing to understand the course of his wisdom in executing justice and in working out the deep designs of his abounding grace, attributed evil and only evil to his truly glorious and holy character. He knows that in due time his character will be fully vindicated, so he patiently waits and works and endures. So also our Lord Jesus waits and endures. He endured great humility in coming to our low estate. Then, as a man, he patiently endured the contradictions. Then, as a contradiction of sinners against himself, an ungrateful persecution, even unto death, from those he came to save. And like his heavenly Father, through it all he was cheered in consideration of that due time, through then in the far distant future, when his character and also the Father's character would be fully vindicated and manifested to every creature in heaven and in earth. And still our blessed Lord Jesus and our adorable heavenly Father await with patience in the grand consummation. So in similar attitude of mind we must wait, for the servants is not above his Lord, and our rejoicing in view of the future will, if we have the mind of Christ, be not only because of our prospective vindication and glory, but but also in prospect of the vindication and glory of God and of our Lord Jesus and of the prospective everlasting triumph of truth and righteousness.
Thank you. And we've asked our brother Joe Schell to close our devotional and our service today with a word of prayer.
Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne of grace again now, the close of our day together. Father, thank you for the gift of thy Son and his sacrifice that he made on our behalf and that of the whole world. We thank you, Father, for that bread from heaven that you have sent in the form of that broken body of your Son, that we may eat and live and also be broken with him, that the world may eat and never hunger again, and that they will know where that bread came from and that it was out of your love that you gave it. Father, we thank you for all of our experiences together and our lessons that we enjoy, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit to be on us continually, that we may apply these things and be ever faithful and pleasing to you and in a likeness of thy Son. We seek blessings for all of our brethren throughout the world, especially those going through special trials. Comfort and guide them in each of them, Father. And we commit ourselves into thy care and keeping continually through the worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.